to focus in on how to be grateful, to be a grateful people. I think one of the things about the 4th of July is just celebrating, being thankful for what has been provided for us, being able to be free in our country to worship, being able to free to work where we want, being able to free to buy what we want and to do what we want and say what we want and all of those good things that we get so crazy about and want to hold on to. And so today I want us to really talk about being grateful for those things, and not only for that, but for what's been done for us so that we can experience the freedom, the true freedom of worship that God wants us to have. And so you are a community church. Listen, this is an opportunity for us to acknowledge Him. It's an opportunity for us to give praise to Him and really thank Him for everything that we have and for the freedoms that we get to enjoy. And so I think the thing that we can't ever forget is that we have to not only be thankful for those who gave their lives, those who sacrificed and paid ultimate prices for us to be free, but then to be willing to acknowledge the one who gave His life for us to not only experience freedom here, but freedom for all eternity. And so today we're going to be focusing on being grateful for all of that. And so I want to tell you right off the bat, that as we talk about being grateful today, as we talk about being thankful for what we have, today's message is going to be out of one of those really raw spots in my life, because there's times where I'm just not as grateful as I should be. And there's times where I just don't acknowledge the things that I have in my life the way that I should. And so today's going to be one of those that's just going to come out of some really difficult places that God has been taking me and teaching me and helping me to understand. So listen, when I get really passionate about it, and maybe it sounds like I'm pointing the finger, you just need to know that there's a whole bunch more fingers pointing back at me than there are at you. And so today's just one of those times where we need to be able to acknowledge that. And so I want to dig down into it. So what I'm going to do is begin with some foundational scriptures that just kind of set the stage for us and set the stage for the entire message, and then we'll dig down into some points that God just has been kind of helping me to understand. And so you need to know that today is one of those messages where I don't want us just to walk out of here emotionally pumped. I mean, I hope that you get pumped up. I hope that today you leave out of here just with a sense of energy about your freedom in America, freedom in your faith, and all of those things. But I hope that you walk out of here not just with an emotional charge, but with a life change charge. You get me? So that it's not just out of, oh man, that made me feel good today, but no, I'm changed today. So that's my prayer, that I don't just change you emotionally, that God changes you spiritually. And that all of that comes from a deeper place. And so we want to dig down into here, into this being a grateful people and looking at and gratitude. And so here's the first thing that if you have your notes or your YouVersion Live open, you can track along here. Gratitude is the only way in, and it's the only way out. Gratitude's the only way in, and it's the only way out. All right, so that sounds kind of vague, you know, like, what are you talking about? It's kind of open up. So let me explain it, and let me use some scripture to help. So Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, it says this. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I mean, isn't that a very appropriate verse for the July 4th weekend? I mean, we should be thankful for His gratefulness, his greatness, His faithfulness, all of those things that He's given us to allow us to remain free, to remain a country where we can say what we want and do what we want and all of those things. But you know, it's not just a scripture that's appropriate for this weekend. It's appropriate for every single day of our lives. We should be acknowledging His greatness every day. We should be acknowledging His faithfulness, understanding that His love is good and it endures forever. Those are things that we don't have to just focus on once in a while, but we can focus on all the time. When we look at being able to be grateful and thankful all the time, man, listen, it changes our whole perspective on so many different things. And really today, I think that's the biggest thing that I want us to take away is that, that when we are grateful and we acknowledge what's been done for us and given to us, that, man, it just changes how we look at everything. Whether it comes at us in a pretty wrapped up package in a bow, or it comes in a pile of poop. All right, just I'm being real with you today. All right, so y'all know me. Some of you, if you don't know me, that stuff like that just comes out sometimes. So anyway, so the reality is that we want to be able to look at it the way that God wants us to, that we can find something good at all times. Now God is a friend, right? Is God your friend? You know, we say that all the time. He's my friend. God's my best friend. All that kind of stuff. But the reality is that God is much more than just our friend. The Bible says that he is a faithful friend, that he's closer than a brother, all of that stuff. But the reality is that God is a king. And we need to never forget that he is a king. And you don't just approach a king like you do just your best friend. You don't just go to him and just any old way. There's a protocol that goes along with approaching a king. I mean, if I walked in and talked about a pile of poop with a king, man, he would look at me kind of weird, right? Kind of like some of y'all did when I said it a while ago and just said it again. So the reality is if you say that, well, that's one thing. But a king, you wouldn't address that way. You would have a much more proper way about it. When you come before a king, you would have this protocol to follow that kept you in line with how things are meant to be. And it's no different than our king, God our king. We need to come to him in a particular way. When we enter into his presence, we need to come to him with an attitude that acknowledges who he is. Listen, if we want to have a meaningful relationship and a meaningful encounter with God, then we can't just come at him blazing with both guns open of all the things that we want him to do. You ever had somebody, you know, walk into your house? You know, don't bump your spouse or anything like this, but just come busting in your house and begin to tell you all the things that went wrong, all the things that are wrong, and all the things that you've done wrong that you need to do right and fix it right now. You ever had that? I never have. Gosh, I done already lied up on here. So anyway, but you know how that goes. We've all had it happen to us. We've had that happen, and we've done it, and been like that, and what does that do? That immediately, like, that just shuts everything down, doesn't it? It changes the whole demeanor. You can be in the best mood ever, and man, it can change in a blink when somebody walks in the room and begins to attack you with all the things that are wrong. When they come in with an attitude that's counterproductive to good things. And so the same is true when we enter the presence of our king. He is our friend, and we can be comfortable with him. But the reality is he's not there to be our fix-it man. He's not there to be the handyman of all the mess that we make in our lives. He's not there to just come in and take over, you know, the things that we do wrong and put them into a good perspective. That's not what his role is. He expects us to come into with a protocol of not acknowledging all the wrong, but to acknowledge all the right. Now, I get sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to come with a perspective of that things are good, you know, when it seems everything's bad. But listen, I don't see anybody in this room who's really missed a whole bunch of meals. Starting with the stage, right? You know, I ain't missed many. But the reality is we've all been fed pretty good. And we probably all slept in a bed or you know, maybe, I don't know if you camped or whatever last night or whatever, but we slept in a pretty good spot. We slept probably with a roof over our heads. We all got here, and I bet none of us walked. Anybody? Yeah, so I mean, we're doing pretty good, right? You all got clothes on, thank goodness. You know, that gets a little weird at the breakfast buffet, you know? But we're doing pretty good here. So we've got a lot of stuff to be thankful for, regardless of, and listen, I'm not naive enough to know or to think that there's not stuff going on at each of us at our tables. There's stuff that we're not thankful for. There's stuff that we hate in our lives that we dread having to face, that we wish wasn't there, that we wish never happened, that we wish we didn't have to go through and deal with and all of that. So listen, I know that's here, but the reality is we still got a lot to be thankful for. And so we need to be able to acknowledge that. We need to be able to know that God is there, and as we come to Him, we can enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. That's the way in. That's what opens the gate for us, is our thanksgiving. Jesus, when He was teaching the disciples how to pray, didn't say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hey, fix everything that's wrong." He didn't say that. He said, "No, hallowed be Thy name, acknowledging You because You're my Father and You're the one that deserves all of my praise." We need to understand that's the way that gets us in. I heard the story of a couple pastors that were going on a mission trip, and they get to the airport, and as they're walking up to the gate, one of the guys says, "Hey, I forgot my passport." And he was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." And you know, you don't have to have your passport if you're flying from one city in America to another city. And so they were going out of the country, so they were flying from Charlotte to LA and then from LA to wherever. And so the guy who left his passport at home didn't make that announcement until he got to the second airport. And so they're getting ready to approach the international, you know, ticket area and the security area, and they're getting ready to go through, and they get there, and the guy's like, "I don't have my passport." And the other guy's like, "Well, what are you doing here? Why'd you fly all the way here if you knew you didn't have your passport?" He said, "Well, you know, I just figured I'd give it a try and see what they do." Anybody here ever flown out of the country? Yeah, they don't let you go without a passport. They don't let you out of the country without one, and they certainly don't let you into another country without one. You see, your passport is the way in. It's the way out. And so this guy gets there and realizes he doesn't have it, and goes through all of this, and he stands in line then trying to get the passport reissued, and he goes through all this thing, spends a whole day doing that, ends up then having to wait two more days to get it. He misses two whole days of the trip because he went all that way without his passport, because that was his way in and his way out. And we need to understand that there is a way in to hearing, to the presence of God and having this relationship with Him, and it's our praise. But guess what? It's also the way out. And so how does that look? So we set the scripture up, the way in is by praising God, right? So let's look at the way out. Here we look in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And this is where Paul and Silas are in prison. All right, and so here's what it says. "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged," man, that word, I don't know, you know. I've been whipped before, but the word flog just sounds so much more intense. Anyway, so that's just one of the things. "They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks." I mean, this isn't like, Shawshank Redemption kind of prison that kind of looks, even though that was a tough place, it was pretty cush, you know. It's not the scared straight kind of prison. Man, this was a prison. This was an overseas prison. You ever seen that show where they show people locked up overseas? Anybody? And maybe I'm just the only weird one that watches it. But let me just tell you, it's not nice. Prisons overseas are a whole lot different than they are here. I think if they were like that here, we might see less people in them, but that's a whole other message, all right? So the reality is this was a barbaric place. This was intense, and they're locked up there. And here's what happens. They are in prison. Are you with me? They're in prison, right? Where are they?
Prison.
In prison, right? Easy prison? No, tough prison. But about midnight, verse 25 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose." Guess how you get out? You praise Him. It's the way in and it's the way out. Praise takes us into the presence of God, and it takes us out of the situations that we find ourselves in. It's the same praise and gratitude that gets us into a right relationship with God, into the right place with Him, that also takes us out of the prisons that we find ourselves in. Listen, some of us just got through talking about, hey, there's stuff going on in your lives, right? We know there are difficulties and all of that, but guess what? The way that you get into the presence of God is the way that you get out of those things. You've got to acknowledge Him and praise Him and be grateful for the things that He has done in order to see Him move and help move us out of the situations that we don't want to be in, that we don't want to have anything to do with. It's being grateful that gets us there. It's being grateful that gets us out of our situations of difficulties financially and relationally and emotionally and spiritually. All the things that we end up complaining about and all of those things, praise is what gets us out of that. Acknowledging Him for who He is and what He's done for you. It's the way in. And it's the way out. You know, the interesting story about the pastor who lost his passport was like 2 days later, as he's waiting to get his passport in, the replacement. He's sitting in his hotel room. He has his little notebook with him that he writes notes in, and he's just really kind of down on himself, and he kind of starts to kind of pound himself in the head. Anybody ever just kind of want to just knucklehead kind of what an idiot I am? Anybody? Again, man, I'm the only, there. Thank you. I'm like, you know, there's days I just, you know, I want to go bang against a concrete wall, you know, just I'm so, you know, I realize just what an idiot sometimes, you know. So he's sitting there having what an idiot moment with his notebook, and about the, you know, third or fourth time, he hits himself in the head and something drops out of his notebook. Will you quit telling my story? I'm just kidding. His passport that he's been waiting on for 2 days, and spent a whole day in line at the airport, drops out of his little notebook. He didn't forget it. He just couldn't find it and forgot where he put it. And guess what? What he needed to get in and out was right there all the time. Guess what for you and me? What we need to get in and out is right there all the time. And we can't ever forget it. We don't need to have knucklehead moments where we realize, oh, there it is. No, God said, listen, what you need to get in and what you need to get out is right there. I've sent my son Jesus to die on a cross for you, to pay the price for your sins, so that if you believe in Him and trust in Him, that you can have salvation, that you can be freed from that penalty, you can be set free, not just today, but because He not only died on that cross to pay the price for our sins, but He was buried and on the third day raised again. So now we're not only set free from our sin, but we're set free from that sin for all eternity. And He's done that for us. And it's right there all the time. He's given His Son for us. He's given us the Word to learn and know and be able to understand exactly who He is and who He wants us to be. He's given it to us. The way in and the way out is right there. You need to know the things you've been praying for and you've been looking for. Listen, it's right there. It may take a little effort for you to kind of take the blinders off, and it may take that you got to humble yourself a little bit. That's the hardest part for us all, is to get over our own pride and just humble ourselves. But listen, what we need to get in and out is right there before us. We need to understand that. We need to be able to see that and be able to believe it and trust it so that we can be delivered from the things that we find ourselves always burdened by and holding on to. Gratitude is the way in and it's the way out. Here's the second thing, if you want to write it down. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. People claim that they have a grateful heart. Don't you hear that all the time? Ron, you know I'm grateful. I just don't ever say so. You know my heart. I don't know your heart. I'm not your cardiologist. I am not Jesus. I don't know your heart. I know what I see on the outside, but I know what you see on the outside of me sometimes. And it maybe isn't always what really is on the inside. Because that's how we are. That's who we are. That's the people we are. So gratitude is not something that we just have to assume and that we just assume people get it. It's that we demonstrate it. It was so cool this morning. Some of you heard this story, but I came out here, and if you've ever been around me, you know, in the mornings, I'm like this, back and forth, kind of like a rocket shot out of a cannon, you know, back there. And if I've got something on my brain, I am focused in, and I'm like a heat seeker right after it, right? And so I come busting out of my office, and I jerk the door open. This thing attacks me, and I'm like, what in the world, you know, is that? And so it was a gift. It was a Superman keychain that somebody had gotten me, just this little miniature Superman. I meant to bring it, and I forgot. I left it on my desk, but it was so cool because if you know me, you know I love Superman and all that. So somebody loved me enough to get that for me and leave it hanging on my doorknob. They even snuck up there, hung it, and we're gone. I didn't even see who it was. So I don't know who you are, but thank you so much that you would do that. I really am grateful for that because it made my day. And so thank you for whoever it was. But, you know, the reality of that is I don't think that they got that for me just because they know I like Superman. I think they like me. I think they kind of are grateful that I'm their pastor, maybe. I don't know. I kind of assume that, you know. And I hope I'm not over-assuming and just thinking so highly of myself. But the reality is that's what I think it really meant was I'm thankful for you. What a cool example to show somebody. Because I'm just telling you, I stink at it. I'm terrible at showing people how grateful I am. And, you know, so much happens around here and I, you know, that I don't have to do. And I just forget to say thank you sometimes. And so if that happens, just know my heart. No, I'm just kidding. No, some of y'all get that late. No, really. Know that I love you and I'm so thankful. And that is how it's supposed to go, that we all do this thing together. You know, you guys have no idea how many hours Miss Bobby Klein put into your breakfast this morning. I mean, really. And for those that gave food for it and all of that, thank you so much for doing that. And so I'm just blown away. And I think the result is here that, you know, we did run out of tables, sort of. That's a cool thing. That we had a crowd show up because you never know, you know. If you say free food, I'm there. But that don't always work for everybody, you know. And so we need to understand today that I'm grateful that you've all come here today. And I'm so thankful that you would spend your time because I know you could be on the lake. I know that you could be a lot of different places doing a lot of different things, but you've chosen to be here today. And so I want to give you everything I got and then pass me. Man, I know God's going to give you all he's got. And so the cool part is that we never need to be invisible or silent with our gratitude. The Bible says in Luke 6:45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. See, sometimes our lips are moving, but really what's coming out isn't what really is in there. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that we're saying, you know, positive things, but there's really some negative stuff coming out. We have to be very careful of that because out of the overflow of our heart is where these things come from. And we need to understand that we need to speak well, not because we put on a show, but because that's what's inside of us. I love the saying that, you know, whenever we're squeezed, whatever we're full of is what comes out. And when we get squeezed in life, what comes out of us is what we're full of. And for some of us, well, it's not so good, right? And so we've been around those kind of people. And so the reality is we need to make sure that we're full of thanksgiving and full of gratefulness so that when we're squeezed, that's what comes out of us. That we're able to honor him and be pleasing to him and into his presence and be able to get out of the situations that we find ourselves in. It's never invisible. It's never silent. I think one of the things that always baffles me is that we can find ourselves a lot of places and we can post a lot of cool things, you know. Some of us love to post all the good food that we eat. You know, some of y'all, man, that's why I think I put on weight. It's not because you feed me. It's because you just make me hungry by your Facebook posts. You know, so I go eat, and that's how it works. But we'll post a picture of food, and we'll post a picture of our sports team. We'll post pictures of stuff that's important to us all the time. But I just want to, just a question for thought. When was the last time that you posted a picture of your church? Well, when was the last time that you posted a picture of your pastor? I mean, he's a good-looking guy, you know? No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But when was the last time you said, you know what, that point in that message was, man, that was right on, man. I need to share that with my friends. Because it's got me thinking, and I bet it would make them think too. Man, that scripture that I read, God, you are so good to me. I need to share that with other people. If we're grateful for who God is in our lives, if we're grateful for the things that he's done, listen, we don't need to be invisible or silent about it. We need to acknowledge it and make sure that people understand who he is to us. I think sometimes we're afraid to do that because, I mean, there is stuff in our lives and none of us are perfect and we trip and stumble and we're like, oh, they know who I am and so I'm not going to do that. But listen, that's how we all are. Without Jesus, we're all lost, dying, going to hell. I mean, that's the reality, and we all mess up, and we all trip and fall, and we all got mistakes in our lives. If we were to, you know, to put that standard up, listen, the Bible says we all fall short. Some of us have gone to a place to acknowledge Jesus and be set free from our sin and all of that, but listen, we can't ever forget where we came from because, listen, that's where people are, and they need to be able to know where we were and how we got to where we are. So you can't ever take that completely out of the equation. We need to be able to celebrate, though, who we are, that we do mess up and that we're not perfect, but the reality is Jesus is Lord of our lives, and because he is, that we can mess up and know that he's the one in charge, not us. We need to be careful that we're silent with our gratitude. We need to be careful that our gratitude is invisible. Listen, we get excited about a lot of things. For instance, check out this group of people and what they get excited about. A dude kicked a ball into a net. And they went nuts. Don't get me started on it. I got Panther jokes in my pocket. Don't make me start. He kicked a ball in a net and the people went crazy. Somebody comes to church dirty, nasty, rotten, stinking inside, and gives their life to Jesus and changes who they are. And what do? Somebody say it. Thank you. We knew nothing. We may pat them on the back. We may, you know, but we don't get... they went nuts because somebody scored a goal in a soccer game. No offense to you soccer fans, all three of you. Anyway, sorry, Alex, wherever Alex Irvin is, man. I know he's wanting to, like, throw something at me back there. So anyway, but the reality is, man, they just went crazy because something, you know, happened in a ball game. And we do it all the time. We do it for basketball and football and baseball, sort of. But we do it. And the reality is that happens, and you know, somebody comes to Jesus, and somebody gets their life right, and somebody's marriage gets put back together, and somebody figures out that giving, being generous is a freeing thing, and all that, and we in the church do nothing about it. We should go nuts. We should be like, man, that's crazy. Do you know what where they've been and what they've been through? And they just gave all that up and just admitted to all of that stuff. And man, they just said that they don't want to live like that anymore. They want to live free of that. And man, we should just go crazy. We should jump on their necks and wrestle them and just, you know, it should be a big pile up at the altar because somebody got free. Listen, church, we've got to learn to be grateful for what God does. Well, we've got to acknowledge those things. Lots of times we don't know those things happen because we're not engaged in what's really going on. So lots of times when somebody does come forward at the church, you know what we're doing? We're not praising God that they may be giving their life to Jesus. We're wondering, what in the world have they done now? And we need to let go of that stuff and be thankful that God's moving in their lives. To be thankful and to know that our gratitude can be visible and it can be loud in the church. It can be reverent. Just don't cuss, you know? Just be loud, okay? If you got to cuss, I guess. I don't know. But whatever it takes to get you excited, do it. You can repent later. I mean, whatever. I'm at this point, I was going to show a video, no joke. I was going to show a video of a bunch of Italians in a bar. And they were going crazy. And I said, man, there's a beer bottle in that. Somebody will get mad at me. So, but the reality is just whatever it takes, just get nuts. Short of sin, get nuts about Jesus. And let your gratitude be visible to him and help people understand that they can be excited. That's why nobody wants what we got. Because they think what we got needs to be vaccinated. We need to be vaccinated against. Because they don't want none of this. We need to make sure it's exciting and it's all that it's really, truly meant to be. Here's the third point. Gratitude begins where my sense of entitlement ends. Oh, boy. I'm glad we got food here today because this might take me a little bit. So here's what's happened. We've become a very much a generations of entitlement. And it's one level for one generation, it's another level, and man, it just keeps piling on. If you got kids under 10 years old, you have set them up for failure, I promise. I got one 13, and she's set up for failure if I'm not careful. Because we've made it seem that they're entitled to so many different things. Man, try to take the iPad away from your 6-year-old or whatever, and see what happens. They go nuts. They're entitled. It's just stuff they're supposed to get. What happens is when we fail to celebrate the things that we are to be grateful for, guess what happens? They go away. If we fail to celebrate the things that we are to be thankful for and grateful for and excited about, guess what? They eventually just go away. They will exit your life. I hear people all the time say, man, I'm so thankful for my church. I'm so thankful to be able, you know, I love my church and all that, but then they don't come. What? If we're thankful for it, I know I got a vested interest. I got skin in the game on this one, you know, because, you know, I'm the paid religious professional here and I expect everybody to be here like me. You know, I get that. But the reality is that I would come here whether you paid me or not. But you get where I'm saying, okay? The reality is that I do love my church, and I love you guys. And you know, as a pastor, there's times where, you know, I'm here, to, you know, and God's doing things, and there, you know, there may come a time one day where he does move me away. I don't know what he'll do. You know, there may come a time where he moves you away. He's moved people away. But he'll move people in. But the reality is that we need to understand that church isn't just a given. Have you seen the news in Russia lately? They're trying to make it illegal that you can't even share Jesus with your family in your own house. Not just pointed at that, but the whole thing would make sharing the gospel with your own family illegal. And we say that'll never happen here. Let me tell you, you need to watch the news. And you need to pray about how you vote. And I'm not saying vote for either one of them that's there, because I'm not sure that either one of them are going to help the situation. I have an internal struggle, okay? And we can talk about that later or whatever. You know, that's a whole Ron thing. It's Pastor Ron. I got to tell you to vote. But the reality is we're in trouble. And it only comes when we acknowledge it and we pray and that we see the way in and we acknowledge God for what he has given us. Because if we keep taking this for granted, it may go away. That's not a scare tactic. That's not, I mean, maybe 50 years ago, that was a pastor trying to scare you into something. Today, man, that's just me being real and honest with you. Because it can go away anytime. We need to understand that our sense of entitlement needs to end, and we need to acknowledge what we have. We need to be free with the gospel to share it while we can with every person we have an opportunity to. That's not thumping our Bible. That's not beating them over the head with it. It's just living a life that sets us apart, and people see it in us and ask us what it is, and we can tell them that God's just done something good for me. He's changed me inside. He's delivered me from where I was, and here I am, not perfect, but man, the price has been paid for me, and I'm free of my sin. I don't have to carry that burden. And some of us just need to understand that and hear that today. We got to get back to the place where our walk with God and our friends and that we're thankful for all of those things. These are gifts. You woke up this morning with air in your lungs. There are people that didn't wake up this morning. There are people who woke up struggling to get air into their lungs. There are people who woke up this morning and can't walk into this building. There are people that woke up and they will never see the light outside of a hospital again. There are people who are struggling, who are in drug addiction, and if we leave them where they are and we don't do anything to change it, to help them be able to change those things, listen, they're gonna die in that. We got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. Church can't just be this comfortable place that we come to and hang out and eat food and all that. We all filled our bellies today. Now let me really make you feel guilty, right? Because there's a lot of people that are digging in trash cans that wish they could find that. We are blessed. We need to be thankful. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." From the pit, he brings us and renews us. We need to hear that, and we need to understand that that is written for us to be able to grab and to be able to take out of here and know that we don't have to live where we've been living. But we can be free. We can be a grateful people. So here's the thing. Here's where that all comes down to, the grateful people can find a blessing. If you're a grateful person, you will find a blessing. You will find something to be blessed by. A grateful people can enlarge a blessing. You can, you know, some things that people would look at and take for granted, you can see the blessing in it when you're a grateful person. Or you can create a blessing. You can take something that a lot of people look at and see the opposite. They see something that's going to hold them down, weigh them down, and keep them from experiencing the love of God. But no, you can create a blessing by showing them what it looks like to truly be grateful. And we can do that in almost any situation. I struggled with putting that word almost in there because it just, I think that we can do that. If we're grateful people, we'll just find it, whatever it is. Whether it's the loss of somebody we love, if it's you know, whatever we, a job that we thought we'd be at forever, you know, a home that we loved, whatever it may be. Grateful people can find a blessing, they can create a blessing, they can enlarge a blessing, they can experience life in a way that the ungrateful people can't. We all know ungrateful people. They're the ones that find the negative stuff about everything. I almost had a mother-in-law joke right there, and I didn't do it. So, but the reality is, sorry, glad God shut me up. But the reality is that we can truly find ways to be blessed if that's what we're looking for. We live in the greatest country. I still believe that. A country where we're free to come and go, free to worship, free to say what we want. And see, the good thing about that free to say what we want is we can say all we want about Jesus. And nobody can tell us we can't. They'll try. But the reality is ultimately, right now, they can't. And so we're free to do those things. We're free to be grateful. And so what are you and what am I doing with that? Is it just something we use to have an hour of our week set aside to just come and do this? Or is it something that's part of us 24/7, 365, that we can live it out gratefully and knowing that it makes a difference not only in our lives but in the lives of the people around us? Be grateful. Listen, if our church would be a group and a place full of grateful people, guess what? Some of you leave here and you go to downtown Albemarle. And so downtown Albemarle can become a grateful place. And some of you, man, you live even in Montgomery County. It could become a grateful place. Some of you live in Randolph County. You go all the way back to Asheboro. Asheboro can become a grateful place because you go there and become grateful. Some of you go to North Stanley. Whew, and you can be grateful there too. Some of you drive over to West Stanley. And guess what? That becomes a grateful place. Some of you even go to Norwood. Gosh, is there anything grateful in Norwood? But if you go there and you're a grateful person, then yes. It doesn't matter where you go. You can even go to Mount Pleasant. Be grateful there. You, wherever you go and take a grateful attitude, that becomes a grateful place. And so today, let's make a choice to become grateful people, to acknowledge that we live in a place that we can freely be grateful, that we can freely acknowledge all the things that we're grateful for, and that we can live a life that makes a difference for everybody, not just for us. But that begins with your decision. It begins with you and I not being invisible or silent with our gratitude. It means that we recognize it's the way in and the way out. And we realize that it goes beyond our entitlement. God, we thank you today that you have gathered us here in this moment to hear your words. God, to hear the scriptures read and to acknowledge those words of the psalmist that, God, you deliver us out of the pit, that you take us from there and you renew us like the eagle. God, that you know everything about us. You heal our diseases. You heal all the things wrong with us, and you bring us out and you make us right, God. Though we may struggle physically, that we may go through difficult times, God, that you are the one who carries us through and you set us up for success. You set us up for success by doing the thing we needed most. And that was making a way for us to be made right with you. So God, today I pray in this room that we would all just take a moment and check our relationship with you. God, if it's non-existent, then today needs to be the day that we begin it, that we begin to acknowledge you and the Savior that you are, that you, Jesus, gave your life on a cross to pay the price for us, that you were buried and on the third day raised again with all the love and the power that God Almighty has, so that we are not only set free, but we're set free for eternity. God, I pray that today that we recognize that, if that's what we need to do. God, maybe today we've acknowledged that before, but today we need to refresh our commitment to realize the gratefulness that we need to have for it. God, as we celebrate July 4th in our country, God, may we celebrate it in our spirit. May we be set free today to experience all that you have for us and to be grateful in every situation. God, today I pray for those that are struggling physically. God, touch their bodies. God, for those struggling emotionally, touch them. God, for those that are struggling spiritually, God, I pray that you would renew them, that you would strengthen them, and that you would deliver them out of that place, God. God, whatever you need to do today, may you have freedom in our lives and our hearts to do it. And God, may we celebrate it and may we acknowledge it, because it's truly because of you it happens. In Jesus' name, amen.